Hello and welcome to Mid-Morning. I'm Lynn Ford. This is a Wisdom Works Mid-Morning. You have probably heard the prayer, "Dear Lord, so far today I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm very thankful for that. But in just a few moments, God, I'm going to get out of bed, and from then on, I'm probably going to need a lot more help." We are our greatest challenge when it comes to living as a follower of Christ, and others give us a run for our money as well. That's why the monthly Wisdom Works shows are so helpful. Dr. Mitchell Cruz uses the Word of God, especially the book of Proverbs, to show us the truth about God and ourselves and points to wisdom as both a teacher and a transformer. This morning, we're discussing Solomon's fourth word to the wise, one that will help you better handle and resolve conflict, and I think also be an intriguing attraction in a culture that's held captive by immediate self-focused desires. Thank you so much, Canine Companion, 11652 North, 825 West in Huntington, for helping to underwrite the first portion of today's Wisdom Works with Dr. Mitchell Cruz. Good morning, Mitch.
Good morning.
This is a continuation of our series that began in February, Words for the Wise, taken from the first chapter of the book of Proverbs. And we finished three words. We finished righteousness, equity, and justice, the strand of morality. But we are taking a look at a new strand today. It's the strand of mystery. And I'm immediately attracted to that.
Me too. I think it's one of the most popular words in our culture right now, our postmodern culture. And what's unique about the Bible, it's a mystery that is revealed in Christ. But the three words from Proverbs are wise behavior, understanding, and riddles, kind of how to communicate in an effective way. And I think effective communication is the power of persuasion. And wise behavior is no exception.
Now let me ask you why you think wise behavior fits on a mystery strand. I understand where riddles would be there. I would question you about understanding. I'll ask you that next month. But why does wise behavior fit on the mystery strand?
It's all kind of taking place in the unseen. And that's what the idea of a mystery is. There's something that's unseen. And it's the unseen part of communication, things that are going on in the heart. And so that's what we're going to see.
The worksheet for today's Wisdom Works Mid-Morning is on the website, wbcl.org, and click on Wisdom Works, and you'll also find the worksheets for previous shows. You can also listen to previous shows as well, and I just encourage you to do that. You'll find your own favorite. Some of you are using these as your own personal Bible study. Some of you are using them in a group study, and that's wonderful as well. In fact, if you're doing any of that, we'd love to hear from you. Just shoot us an email, and we'd just like to know what you're doing with that. So let's get started. The focus of all of these words, Mitch, really deals with conflict and our relationships with others. And wise behavior is such a necessary thing. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, some people are just, that's their natural bent. They tend to be a little more keen, a little more intuitive, a little more intelligent. So wisdom is really relegated to certain people. But wisdom, the wisdom that the Bible is talking about, is available to all of us as children of God.
Right. The reason we apply it to conflict is that's what Solomon asked for. He said, it's so hard to govern these people of yours. You know, how am I going to discern what's right or wrong? I need wisdom to do that. And so in conflict management, our behavior is either wise or foolish. And a key indicator to the answer to that question lies in how we utilize the Bible when two objects attempt to occupy the same space at the same time in our lives. And that's the definition of conflict, when two objects attempt to occupy the same space at the same time in our lives. And I think that Proverbs demonstrates this direct correlation between wise behavior and conflict management and our assimilation of the Word of God, so it is available to all of us. The idea of wisdom is connecting the vertical with the horizontal, vertical up and down, horizontal side to side. Vertical is my relationship with God and His heart, and horizontal would be street smarts and my relationships with other people and the tasks I'm going to achieve. This word, wise behavior, that we get from the NASB is sakal. It's a different word for wisdom. And as I look through the usages of it in Proverbs, we see kind of a unique pattern that we're going to look at today.
Let me go back to what you just said, that Proverbs demonstrates a direct correlation between wise behavior and conflict management and our assimilation of the Word of God. We as we attend church on Sundays and then are in small groups and even in our own private time in reading the Word of God, are hearing it. We're reading it. We're hearing it. But assimilating it is a different kind of thing. How does that happen?
Well, that's what we're going to see.
Okay.
That's a great question because it's exactly where we're going to go. And it's not an idea that's new today. Here's what, you know, because we have the New Testament or something like that. Solomon said this, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck." That's a symbol of having them close to your heart. "Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." A good name is translated from the same root as the Hebrew word for wise behavior. So cool. Mm-hmm. When we learn wisdom, it sinks deep into our hearts. It sinks deep into our hearts and it becomes evident in our actions. And this leads to wise behavior. Here we go. Both vertically from God's perspective and horizontally from man's point of view. "Then you will win favor and a good name," or wise behavior, "in the sight of God and man." Man, we could end right there.
I know.
So good.
Oftentimes when you hear someone say, "What do you want for your kids?" Parents will say, "I want my kids to be happy." But that really isn't, if we think about it, the goal of our parenting. We really want our kids to be wise.
Mm-hmm.
Because wisdom opens up really all the good that we want for our kids.
Exactly. I'm trying to think how to edit the story. Lily was asking me all kinds of questions about politics because of the presidential race, I guess, being on in my car and stuff like that. And we had a long talk. And, you know, I was raised that believing a certain way was real close to
being a Christian.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I've grown a lot since then. I've seen that the Christian thing is the foundation and the others are secondary. And oftentimes neither party looks different than the other. Mm-hmm. But I was explaining to her my passion. I said, "Oh, Lily, this is my 8-year-old. I said, "Now you're getting to a passion of mine." I said, and so I'm explaining to her, I said, "In fact, Lily, it's kind of like this." I said, "If you espouse these views," and I went through a list of several things, okay? And I tried not to make it about one party. And mm-hmm. I said, "I'd have trouble voting for you." "Dad, you wouldn't vote for me?" I said, "Lily, it's kind of like this." I said, "What if we went? What if when we go, we leave the softball park today?" I said, "Hey, Lily, you know what? You just take the wheel and drive us home. Would that be right?" "No," I said. "See, that would be misguided. That wouldn't be wise." Mm-hmm. And so, Lily, that's what I'm talking about, is how to be wise. And I think that's the same thing here, is we get misguided in how we want our kids to grow and to lead and those kinds of things. And I don't think the happy thing is from a poor intended heart,
no.
You know, evil intentions. But I think it's misguided. Happy and happen both come from the same root word that means for the moment. What we really want for them is joy that comes from the inside out and lasts for eternity. And wise behavior, there's a direct correlation to that and that joy.
We've got an illustration or a story that's going to sort of move us through this during the hour. And it's a story that's familiar to lots of people, especially if they've seen the film Braveheart,
yes.
Directed and starring Mel Gibson.
William Wallace was born in Scotland in 1267. The King of Scotland had died without an heir appointed to the throne. So King Edward the Longshanks of England seized the opportunity to pillage Scotland, claiming it as his own. During the raids, as you remember in the movie, Wallace's wife was murdered. What followed is now legend, as one man armed only with wise behavior took on an entire country. And right there you might say, what? So that's why we're going to dig deeper. Whereas foolish behavior trusts in one's own words, which tend to be unconvincing, nonsensical, fearful, and lacking credibility, wise behavior acts oppositely by trusting in the Word of God. Proverbs tells us that wise behavior has four characteristics. Do you want them all now or just the first one?
Go through all four and then we'll settle in on the first one.
We've got a bunch of C words to make it easy for you to remember, hopefully. First, wise behavior is convincing. Second, wise behavior includes common sense. Third, wise behavior is courageous. And fourth, wise behavior is credible. William Wallace's life was characterized and known by these four traits, which made him an excellent illustration for this when I was studying it.
All right. Let's start with the first one. Why is behavior is convincing? Because I already have a question about that.
Okay.
Because you say this persuasiveness comes from our speech. Does its power of persuasion, wise behavior, really depend on the recipient? I mean, because you can behave wisely, and the person that you're interacting with, it could go nowhere with them, depending on whether mm-hmm. they're naive or gullible, mm-hmm. which are two of the actions of a fool, or whether they're just not ready to listen. So if it is convincing, but does it depend on certain things?
Yeah, and that actually is going to come out under common sense.
All right.
Then that's true. My uncle used to say, I can control like 100% of my behavior, but I can only control 50% of a relationship. He did that as an oversimplification mm-hmm. to realize I'm not going to be able to make it all happen inside of you. The point I would want to make here, though, Lynn, okay. is that I have a lot more persuasive opportunities than I give myself credit for. And that just comes from my experience and then what I read in the Bible. We were designed, in my opinion, to lead other people. And if you want to lead, then you serve. Jesus said that. And so as we serve other people, and we serve them by communicating the word of God in a shrewd way, in a way that's thought out, in a wise behavior sort of way, the impact on people's lives is amazing.
Yeah.
And we know it didn't come from us. First, wise behavior is convincing. So this persuasiveness comes from our speech. To be convincing with our words, we must first have wisdom in our hearts. We read that, but Solomon said this, the heart of the wise instructs his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Wisdom in the heart comes out in my words. Proverbs precedes this verse with, he who gives attention to the word will find good, mm-hmm. and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. See, they go together, the word and trusting in the Lord. Attention, he who gives attention to the word will find good, is translated from the same Hebrew word as wise behavior. It's amazing. When we give attention to the word or instruction, we begin to become convincing. Our most powerful source of instruction is the word of God. It's the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God, which is a means to God himself. The more we get into it, the more it gets into us. Solomon said that the path of life for wise behavior leads upward. That's Proverbs 15:24. The Word of God transports us in the direction of the Almighty, and this journey upward transforms us inward. God's renovation of our hearts revolutionizes our words to be convincing. Solomon illustrated the value of the right word spoken at the right time when he said, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. I teach once in a while personalities at my uncle, the state senator's auction school, and I'll refer to this verse almost all the time, and it ties into what you just asked, Lynn, because understanding personalities mm-hmm. is all about knowing how to communicate in a way that the other person will listen, and we just totally miss that so much. And so I keep coming back to that verse. Referencing the power of God's word in ours, Jesus closed a parable quoting Abraham. If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced. Moses and the prophets, an example of a reference to the Old Testament or to the word of God. And here's our story. William Wallace, this is so interesting to me, employed his own chaplain in order to get the word into his heart. This contributed to him being convincing. Wise behavior begins with getting the word into our hearts so that it persuasively flows into our speech.
Mm.
We all kind of know the story of me going to my uncle, who I thought was the wisest man on earth. At that time, I wouldn't put it that way. I would have called him the most righteous man I knew. And was challenging, this would have been 1992, to confess, you know, my sins to somebody that I was thinking was flawless. And the grace and the mercy that I received, and it didn't just stop there. Part of grace is not just saying, well, you know, I still love you anyway, or I'm still here for you, or anything like that. But it's giving tools so that it won't happen again. I do this with my children all the time. I'll say, I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to give you the tools to be successful. I'm going to do everything I can to give you. And this is like on one issue. I don't mean like a blanket thing. Mm-hmm. So I'll say, regarding this issue, I'm going to give you the tools that you need to be successful. I'm on your side. I'm on your team. Here's what we're going to do. However, if after all of that, you don't come through, here are your consequences. And so you're going to choose them. I'm not. Do you understand? And I think as parents, that's really important that we recognize that grace means that we're going to give this unmerited favor, undeserved love in advance and give the tools to be successful. And my uncle directed me toward the Bible. And I've been thinking about it for the last month. What was it? What was it that caused me to go to the Bible and start reading it in a different translation every 6 months or a year, depending how fast I was going through it or whether I had a commentary going with it or something. And I'll never forget, and I'm going to tell a story I've told before, but I'll never forget what he said about his own father. We were talking about him. He had coached me a little bit, you know, in auctioning and stuff. And I'm going to share a story about Grandpa Russell. But he said, you know, Mitchell, the thing that might have changed his life dramatically in this fashion that we're talking about would be if he would have studied the Bible for himself. And he said, I've had talks with him and, you know, sure, he read it and stuff and can quote it. But to study it for yourself, to mm-hmm. begin that assimilation into your own life. Well, here's what I think. I'm going to share the story that I kind of blew through maybe a few months ago, but I'm going to share it again because it applies so much to this and to what Uncle Darrell was saying to me. Well, I was at one of my first auctions. I was about 18 years old, and it was in Butler, Indiana, and it's right there on State Road 6, and my grandfather and I were sitting on a porch. Standing on a porch, and we had about 200 or 300 bidders in front of us at the auction, and he's doing on-the-job training with me. He's coaching me, and so I come up to this curio cabinet, and I'm operating under the assumption that, you know, the auctioneer's got to keep it moving, otherwise you don't have very many people left at the end of the day, and the mm-hmm. items that you have, you're hurting the seller. So I go, $100, we'll give $150. Anybody else? He goes, stop. I was getting ready to say so. He goes, Mitchell. And this is in front of the whole crowd. Everybody can hear. He said, is there anything you can say to that the people might want to bid more? And I said, well, you know, the wood is really beautiful. It's probably hand carved. And I don't know how you could actually even find that today. He goes, Mitchell, don't tell me, tell them. So I turned to the crowd on the portable PA system and I said, the wood is beautiful. You get hand carved, you know. I don't know where you could get it today. $200, $250, $300, $350, $400 would get $400, you know. And I said, anybody else? He goes, Mitchell, stop. This is in front of everybody. He said, is there anything else? That was pretty good. Is there anything else you can say about it? And I look at him, I look at the curio cabinet, and I look back at him and I said, you know, the beveled glass. I said, I don't know how you would get the beveled glass today. You don't see that. You know, you see these kind of like plexiglass things and
things. Mark
and
of a fine piece.
That's right. Yeah. And he said, Mitchell, don't tell me, tell them. So I look at him. I said, look at the bevel glass. It's so beautiful. Where would you get it done today? It might cost thousands, $400, $450, $500. $550 would get $600. Anybody else? Mitchell, stop. He goes, this is working pretty good. And he said, do you think there's anything else that you might say? And I said, well, I looked at the curio cabinet. I said, at the bottom there, the feet. The way the feet were done, I said, it's beyond my comprehension. I don't know how you can make a piece of wood look like that. You know, however they did that, the hand carving and the time it would have taken. Mitchell, yeah. Oh, I know. Don't tell you, tell them. Yeah. So I look at them and I say, oh, look at the feet and the hand carving. And how could you do that today? $600, $650, $700, $850, $900, $1,000. Anybody else? And I sold it for like $950 or $1,000. And what I left out of that story is what he told me on that way up. He said this. He said, Mitchell, if I can get you convinced, I can get them convinced. Mm-hmm. In many ways, that became the theme of my life. And I think that's what God is saying to us. It's funny how that theme came back at me a totally different way than I had expected. I think God is saying, if I can get you convinced with the power of the Word of God in your life, I can get them convinced, those outside looking in. And I really think if you're listening today, that's what God's saying to you. If he can get you convinced on the power of wise behavior, the power of the Word of God, then he's going to convince other people through your life. And so would you be convincing? Would you take a journey upward in order to change inward? And my suggestion to do that is something that my uncle had challenged me to do. Memorize a verse or even a passage from Proverbs. and allow wise behavior to begin to sink into your heart with the power of the word. Memorize just something small, and start maybe with Proverbs. If you want to memorize something else, that's okay too, but memorize a verse or a passage and just let this wise behavior begin to sink in to your heart with the power of the word of God.
We desire so much for God to be present in our lives, and we ask him to prepare us to live our lives and to be just really powerful channels for him in whatever we're doing. But our preparedness for that comes in the secret place. I mean, we think often that we ask him to move and to show himself. And as you were talking, Mitchell, I was thinking, we just prayed before we went on the air. Father, show up today in the lives of our listeners. May they know that they have heard from the God of the heavens. And I believe he's doing that. I believe he's very much present in what's being said this morning to all of us in a very unique and special way. But the reason that Mitch is able to speak just off the cuff, so to speak, about some things that maybe he hadn't even thought about this morning is because of all of the time that you've spent over the course of your life alone with God, that it has filled you up. And when the time is needed to speak those things, the Lord brings them out of you. And that is what, that's what you're talking about this morning. I mean, that is what he wants for all of us. I was reading a story, and I hope I can get it all straight, in a Lent devotional. And it was comparing how when Odysseus took his men in their ship past the sirens, and they had that gorgeous song that called men to their death, he put cotton or cloth in the ears of all of his men so they couldn't hear the sirens call. And he had them tie him to the mast so that even if he heard it, he couldn't leave and go to his death. The difference between him and Orpheus played music that was more attractive and more beautiful than the siren song. That's what kept him on his boat. That's what kept his men with him, that took them beyond the dangers of the death of the sirens. And I think oftentimes we try to live strapped to the mast by our own power, trying to obey the law because we love God. When if you listen to his song, which is the sweetest, most powerful, most glorious, that is what makes us obedient children. That is what makes us want to follow just the beauty of himself, as opposed to wanting to keep the law, which you'll keep if you love him anyway. Mm. And that is such a truth about what you're saying this morning, that we go to the word not because we're obligated to go to the word, but because it's a person. And he so much wants to give himself to you. And then the bounty of that is that it resides in you. And as you live your life, God brings that out to bless others, to give you those right words. And even when you're speaking, you may not feel that you're doing a very good job. But that's the power and the mystery of the Spirit that's working in that moment and then thereafter in the hearts of the people that you're talking to.
That's powerful. I heard this, a little bit of this once before, and then I added to it. And I talk with the girls on the basketball team about this all the time, especially in their relationships with boys. Change is dissatisfaction with the present state plus awareness of a better state, the future state, plus first steps. And I would tell them, but it has to be multiplied by wisdom and leadership. And today, if you're listening, it might be time for a change. And Lynn's story made me think of that. There's a dissatisfaction with the present state, but there's an awareness of a better state. And I'd like you to know that this is better. I remember when I was getting close to selling out Cruise International, and I said to my uncle, I said, what this has done to me, this would have been almost 8 years, about 7 years, to 8 years later. I said, what this has done for me, this wise behavior, this word of God, I said, I'm really thinking about the rest of my life just studying this. And he and I thought maybe that's, he's going to think it's kind of dumb. And he looked at me and he said, well, what would be wrong with that? And you know, growing up in a home where you're taught that you're destined and you're going to conquer the world and you're going to do this, this, and this, and coming full circle and seeing the power of the Bible and how relevant it is to a guy like William Wallace and to people like you and me, whether you're a CEO of a major corporation, a multinational corporation, all the way down to your unemployed, whether you're a mom, a coach, a teacher, whatever it is you do, blue collar, white collar, doesn't matter. The power of the Word of God, I am reluctant to say it because of how cliche-ish it sounds, but I'm telling you, it's much more a picture of what it did for William Wallace than it is some kind of, like I said to Lynn before we started, some wrung-out dish rag thing that doesn't really mean a whole lot. No, this is powerful. This is relevant to your life and will make your words convincing.
It's 9:30. You're listening to Mid-Morning, a Wisdom Works Mid-Morning here on the WBCL Radio Network. Our guest is Dr. Mitchell Cruz, and he joins us every month for a Wisdom Works program. And we're taking a look this year at the 12 wise words of Solomon taken from the first chapter of the book of Proverbs. And if you've missed previous discussions this year, you can go to our website, WBCL.org, and click on Mid-Morning and then Wisdom Works to not only get the worksheets, which are really a comprehensive look at what's shared each time, but also you can re-listen or listen for the first time to those previous shows. Thanks, Canine Companion, 11652 North, 825 West in Huntington, for helping to underwrite this first portion of Mid-Morning. Wise behavior is convincing, and wise behavior includes common sense. And I told Mitch before we went on the air, when I was a little girl, my mom said to me, Lynn, you have no common sense. And at the time, I knew that probably was not a good thing. But as I got older, I was like, what do you mean I don't have common sense? I was really both hurt and offended and a bit ashamed about that. So I'm encouraged to know that common sense is a result of wise behavior, and it is something that we all can have that comes to us through our relationship with God.
Absolutely. I don't think I had much either. I would say my wife might wonder if I still do.
I knew enough to come in out of the rain. I think that's common sense.
That's what my dad used to say. Didn't have enough common sense to come out of the rain. Well, I did stay out in the rain and shop baskets at one time. Do I not have any common sense? Wise behavior includes common sense. Solomon said that fools lack it. It's Ecclesiastes 10:3 is kind of interesting. To have common sense, we must apply the verse or passage that we memorize. Apply means to make sticky, like a post-it note.
Great picture.
Wise behavior makes the word sticky to our lives, and the result is common sense. And just look at what Proverbs says. Wise behavior applies the word of God to our work. Solomon wrote, he who gathers crops in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Wise stems from the same Hebrew word translated as wise behavior. Working smart is common sense. Wise behavior applies the word of God to our restraint of words. Solomon said, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Holding our tongue is common sense. Wise behavior applies the word of God to our choice of audience for communication. This is what Lynn was saying. Solomon's 30 sayings of the wise records, do not speak to a fool, for he will scorn the wisdom of your words. Avoiding conversation with a fool is common sense. Mm-hmm. Wise behavior applies the word of God to our perspective. Solomon weighed in, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Overlooking an offense is
common sense.
Wise behavior applies the word of God to our pursuit of intimate relationships. Solomon went on to say, houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Prudent is translated from the Hebrew word for wise behavior.
How can we get so many words translated from that one?
The whole Bible's like that. It's amazing. That's why we got to be careful when we lump them all together. Prudent is translated from the Hebrew word for wise behavior. So listening to a wife whose behavior is wise is
common sense.
Oh, Lynn, I know you really like that one. Listening to a wife whose behavior is wise is
common sense and vice versa.
That's true. William Wallace was able to rally the common men of Scotland with common sense. He applied to his life the word that was communicated to him by his chaplain. I got to tell you, when I started to read the Bible through a different translation, I would, if I was going through like in 6 months, trying to complete it in 6 months, I think I was reading seven or so chapters a day, and something like whatever I'm doing now.
Were you going straight through, or were you doing some Old Testament and New Testament?
I go three in the Old and one in the New as I'm going. I have done the other. I don't like being missed out on the New for so long. So I go three in the old one and the new, and then a chapter in Proverbs as well. So whatever the math is. So I guess now I'm reading five. Even if I was reading Chronicles, and it's given a lineage, you know, kind of a genealogical lineage, I'd say, okay, how am I going to apply that to my life, to my collector car auction world today? And I'd sit there and I'd spend a few minutes thinking about it. I'd think about it. And that's what I want you to do. This changed my life. I want you to look at your calendar. This is what I did. I want you to look at your calendar with your memorized words of wisdom in mind and ask God how you can apply the wise behavior to your everyday life. Inspire common people with God's common sense. And I can tell you, in my life, it was almost measurable. You know, I worked hard, I worked smart, but wisdom wasn't there. I made a lot of foolish mistakes. I made a lot of foolish business mistakes. I made a lot of foolish God mistakes, and they go together. And to bring this wise behavior to my life transformed my relationships with my customers, with my vendors, who I'd owed a lot of money to my employees, and common sense, applying the word of God in my life. It was amazing how this transformation mm-hmm. began to occur. And I'll never forget the words of my assistant for 17 years. She said, "You have radically changed." Now, she had a tremendous background in missions, and she had been kicked around in life. And she was unbelievable in what she could get down in a small amount of time. And it was unique for her to comment about something like that. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the words that she shared with me and the power in that, because I thought, hey, this is probably right. I am changing. This is amazing. This must be what God has in mind.
It just shows you the attractiveness of this when you talk about wise behavior in the world in which we live. Mm-hmm. I mean, people, I think, are really hungry for that, in knowing what is the wise decision here. And when you meet someone that exhibits this, it is because it is such an unusual, or maybe it seems like there's just small pockets of wisdom in our culture, you wonder how they can be so consistently, not that they, you know, every once in a while do something wise, but their life is a consistent, wise choice after another.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I tell you what, this may not make sense to a lot of people, but when you quit giving somebody the title, the car, when they haven't given you the money, and you pay the seller, when you stop doing that, things start falling into place in a hurry.
You might succeed after all.
Yeah.
All right. You said you did the pause and let wisdom work, which is the application. Will you just share with us, be filled with common sense? You said look at your calendar with your memorized words of wisdom in mind and ask God how you can apply the wise behavior to your everyday life. I like that. You gave us a great example, Mitch, when you talked about reading the book of Chronicles. And even in Matthew, when you come across mm-hmm. this huge genealogy, the tendency or the temptation is to say, you know, I'll just let me get to the narrative.
Yeah.
But everything is there in the Word for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that there's something for us in everything that we read. And the same thing when you hear a sermon. I was talking to an author that said whenever you're coming in contact with anything that has a spiritual context, you need to listen up. Mm. You just can't say, well, I don't like that preacher's style. It's not a very good sermon. There's something in there, if you just sit with it, because it is the Word of God being spoken to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Wise behavior is courageous.
To be courageous, we must be willing to share our experience of the Word with another person. When in prison, Paul applauded the wisdom of his fellow believers. He said this, to speak the Word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Being courageous means fearlessly sharing our experience of the Word applied to our lives with both the foolish and the wise. Solomon said, when a mocker is punished, the simple gain wisdom. When a wise man is instructed, he gets knowledge. Wise behavior includes courage to bring consequences to a mocker who scoffs at God.
Give me an example of what you're talking about there.
Well, I think it's important. The thing that's fresh on my mind would be coaching, but also in business. If somebody's going to mock what's going on, mock the mission, mock the vision. The Bible talks about in other places in Proverbs that it's time to remove that person. That person is going to take the whole thing down. It's like letting poison inside a team, poison inside a corporation. When somebody's going to mock or scoff, go in direct opposition to the mission or the vision, then they probably need removed. Now, I would do that with great wisdom and great care and discernment, mm-hmm. and I would try to do something we're going to talk about in the future on how you invest with discipline first. But if that doesn't happen and it's a repeated, unrepentant kind of a thing, then it's probably a time to have them leave. I've seen players mm-hmm. virtually destroy teams. Other players start assimilating that behavior.
You've seen it in the NBA.
Huge. Yeah. And you see it sometimes in Christian schools. Now, I'm as evangelistic probably as they come. And I would say, you know, let's be part of trying to shape that person. But when you get someone who hasn't had many consequences in their lives, you need to bring some. And you don't discard them. Maybe you stay in touch and you try to, again, implement that plan of grace where you restore them. And that is every removal in Scripture, like in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 2, it's all with the goal of restoration. It is to bring them back.
Mm-hmm.
This fosters wise behavior in the simple fool who is watching. He gets wiser because he sees that. Conversely, when we are courageous enough to teach a wise person from our experience of applying the word, he will grow in his intimacy with God, who is the source of our courage. God exercises wise behavior to courageously root out the wicked. Solomon continued, this is very interesting, the righteous one is capitalized in the NIV, takes note of the house of the wicked and brings the wicked to ruin. Again, takes note is translated from the root for wise behavior. The righteous one takes note of the house of the wicked and brings the wicked to ruin. Righteous one, which is capitalized in the NIV, can also be translated righteous man. It is the indwelling, here's what I want you to get, it's the indwelling of the Spirit of God who empowers us with the courage to implement the same wise behavior, discerning when to remove a wicked person from an organization, you know, and when not, depending on what's going on. Now, go back to our story. William Wallace courageously shared with others the word that had been taught by his chaplain and applied to his life. He persuaded his reluctant nobleman friend, Robert the Bruce, with the words, "Men don't follow titles, they follow courage."
Mm.
Men don't follow titles, they follow courage. Courage is a big part of a graduation talk I'm giving, and I've been amazed at kind of the study of this word and what's going on. And here's what I want to share with you today. It's amazing that this prophet type comes up to a king, Judah, and he says, you know what? A lot of people were kind of disconnected with God and they were discouraged. And he said, but you, I'm bringing you this word of God today. You need to not give up. Don't give up. And the very next line says he took courage. Well, what about that statement that's all throughout the Old Testament? Be strong and courageous, for the Lord our God is with you. There's something about the Bible and the Word of God that is in us and he's with us, and we become courageous in how to communicate that with other people. And that's what this king, it was King Asa, went on to do, is he went on to communicate that then to other people. Now, let's just go back in time to the collector car auction world. I'm sitting there and I've read my Bible. I read all those chapters and I, got my calendar next to me. I was very task oriented about all the things I was going to try to accomplish that day and look at it. And it might be traveling. I might be at an auction, you know, for the entire day. Could be all kinds of different scenarios. And I think, well, how can I share my experience of this with someone today? Would it make a difference? How could I do it naturally and authentically? And how can I not be weird to somebody who maybe isn't really at this point in time warm to these kinds of things? And I just began to work it into my conversation. I got to tell you, that took a lot of courage for me. And it only came from the Holy Spirit, because you don't want the audience to feel proselytized to your brand kind of a thing. And here's my experience. I can't think of one time where that didn't help the audience. I can't think of one time where the audience was rude to me or disengaged from me because of it. And I just want to encourage you today, if you're listening, to be courageous, to have the courage to share your experience of the Word of God, not just the Word, but your experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes it so palatable. You know, I've been working on this in my life, and I just happened to read today or a couple of days ago this idea, and here's what happened to me. Maybe we can apply that here. Boy, that sounds awfully unthreatening, I think. You know, and that's kind of how it would just flow out naturally. But it took the courage from the Spirit of God indwelling in me in order to do that. Yeah. I don't think there's any coincidence that the most frequently recorded command in the Bible is fear not. Fear not. And you don't need to be afraid to do it that way. Share with someone your experience of applying the selected verse or passage to your life. Again, I want to stress that it's your experience of applying the selected verse or passage to our life. It feels so much different than quoting a King James Bible verse to someone that maybe we've never really read. We just caught somewhere down the line. We don't know the context of it. This is so different. That person will be honored. This has been my experience. That person will be honored that you are courageous enough to share your experience with God's wisdom.
The other thing it might do is allow this person to see the reality of what a relationship with God means in a person's life. In that I was at a girls' night out with my sister and her daughter, and then perhaps her future daughter-in-law, we hope. Anyway, and there was another person there, and we were eating and talking, and we were going to play cards, and we were talking about a friend of ours who's just, for the better part of his life, just made bad decisions and seems to have really been struggling because of some things that had happened to him when he was younger. And my sister looked at me and she said, "Well, Lynn, I don't think you really understand this, because you really never had a problem that's grabbed you like that." Because she perceives my life, because I've been I've been a Christian my whole life, but hey, I've been a pretty carnal Christian for the better part of it, and did some quite deceitful and awful things. Those are things that people didn't really know about. And I've really never told my sister. So I said, "Well, let me just tell you some things." And she was so shocked that I had the same kind of things in my own life when she perceived me, knowing me down the road better, as a woman who really loved God and was really devoted to God and who had been changed by the Spirit of God. She didn't know everything that got me to that point. That has sort of turned our relationship in a new direction. You know, it has driven us deeper as sisters. Because I think sometimes when we don't tell the full story, and you don't always have a chance to, and it's not always appropriate to do that, but you know when it is. You know when it is. That's what this is. You know, I when I sat there and I just felt that impulse to tell her, My response was not necessarily "can't wait to do that,"
right?
But the whole courageous thing of telling the whole story, which is really God's story in you, that people really see God more clearly and more truthfully, and what it means to belong to Him, and what He does in your life, how He truly changes you. They think that the change oftentimes is sort of just this universal spirituality that happens because you know God. They don't really quite understand that it's a very unique thing, that it's not just a change in behavior, but it's a change in person, which drives the change of behavior. So this whole thing of being courageous and sharing your story with someone, it is so mighty. And if you don't have the relationship with God that we've talked about earlier, that you've been in His Word, and you've just been with Him, you're not going to have the courage to do it, and you're not going to have the words to do it. It's everything that's come to that point in your life that has prepared you for that moment.
Yeah. You made me want to define courage. Courage comes from the Latin for heart, core. And I would say courage is vulnerability toward God and vulnerability toward others. And I think that's what you did. That's really, really powerful. My county line just had a gospel concert, and one of the last songs was "I'm Just a Sinner Saved by Grace." And I'll admit I had a couple tears going down my eyes because I had I get that. And my dad, who happened to be sitting behind me, tapped me on the shoulder and leaned forward, and he said, "Have you heard that song before?" I said, "Yeah, yeah, I have. They actually sang it here one other time." He said, "I like that song." And I know that my dad gets his need and gets that message. And it was powerfully done. And that's the way that we can be vulnerable and have the courage to share our experience and that we didn't get it all right, and mm-hmm. here's what we were trying to do. And again, it's the spirit of God's restorative work in us.
And again, as you take in the word, I'm thinking, you know, as I was sitting there, you know, and it's all in a brief second. Do you say something? Do you not? I'm ever mindful of the Lord's presence. He is at my right hand. I shall never be shaken. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and that's the reality, whether you feel it or not. That is really the power of having the word of God in your heart. Yeah. That the Spirit just continues to bring that to you, not only for your own encouragement and direction and chastening and all kinds of things, but for others as well. So we're down to our last 10 minutes of Wisdom Works, this May edition with Dr. Mitchell Cruz. Let me say thanks to General Credit Union with four locations throughout Fort Wayne and Souder Village in Archibald, and on the web, Archibald, I put an I in there. It's actually Archibald. And on the web at soudervillage.org. Thank you, good friends, for helping to underwrite this last portion of Mid-Morning. We've talked about wise behavior. It includes common sense. It's courageous. And I'm skipping convincing one. What did I miss? Convincing. And now it's credible.
So convincing, we memorized a verse or a passage. Common sense, we applied it. We made it sticky to our lives or our calendar. Courage, we took the risk to share our experience with applying it to our lives with another person. And finally, credible. And I can't leave it alone, Lynn. When the stamp, J.D. Sumner and the Stamps were in Archibald, J.D. Sumner would always get up and he'd say, "It's really great to be here, wherever we are." And then somebody tells him, he goes, "What? It's really great to be here in Archibald." Like Archie's bald.
Yes.
Finally, wise behavior is credible. To be credible, we must give credit to God for our experience of getting into the Word. It's sort of what Lynn has been doing with her life here today on the air, applying it to our lives. So to be credible, we must give credit to God for our experience of getting into the Word, applying it to our lives, and being courageous enough to share that experience with another person. Credible and credit both come from the Latin word credere, meaning to believe or to trust. Mm-hmm. We are only worthy of trust when we trust in the source of our wise behavior. Wisdom comes from the Lord, so we are credible when we give credit to whom it is due. Solomon said, "A man is praised according to his wisdom, but men with warped minds are despised." Wisdom is translated from the Hebrew word for wise behavior again, which Solomon noted as praised or credible. Hmm. The opposite of being praised according to one's wisdom is being despised due to one's warped mind. Warped mind means bent or twisted. It distorts reality and takes credit from God. As previously mentioned, wise behavior makes us credible both with God and man. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. My brother talked on Pride Sunday at church, and he gave us a pride test that he had taken from somebody, and he had added several things to it. And out of the 40 things or so, you're supposed to check or star what most apply to you. And Susan was home with Haley, who was sick. So I came home with that list.
I was going to say, I took the test for her.
Yeah, I did. So I come home with a list with my 10 things checked out of the 40. And she would say, whoops, you might have missed one there. And Stuart had coached us not to beat up each other when you went through that, but you were supposed to go through it with somebody close to you who knew you well. I think that I, on autopilot, and maybe we're all this way, but on autopilot, I take credit from God. I don't think when I'm on autopilot, I'm necessarily thinking about this. So mm-hmm. again, this is something that's intentional. Credibility affects leadership. I'm going to get kind of heavy here for a minute, but it'll go quickly. A leader finds credibility in a person with wise behavior. I mean, they may not know that's what they're looking for, but mm-hmm. it is what they're looking for. So if you're looking for a job today, take this to heart. A leader finds credibility in a person with wise behavior, but he discovers none in a shameful person. Solomon shared this feeling from experience. He said, "A king delights in a wise servant, but a shameful servant incurs his wrath." He was a king. He had experience. At the same time, the credibility of the person with wise behavior propels him to leadership. Solomon said this, "A wise servant will rule over a disgraceful son and will share the inheritance as one of the brothers." Both shameful and disgraceful are translated from the same Hebrew word bash, like bash speakers, but they're not shameful and disgraceful. Solomon equated, no, it's bows. Oh, I'm thinking of bash ignitions. They're not shameful or disgraceful. Solomon equated acting. I got to laugh at myself for a minute. Solomon equated acting shamefully with straying from wise behavior. A man who strays from the path of understanding comes to rest in the company of the dead. Understanding, again, is our word for wise behavior. Solomon not only noted not only the credibility of one with understanding or wise behavior, but also the lack of credibility of a person without it. He said this, good understanding wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard, untrustworthy. And listen to this. This is awesome. David is Solomon's dad. He gave credit to God for his experience with the wise behavior found in his word, in God's word. And here's what he said. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. That's Psalm 19:7. Hey, William Wallace was credible. Wallace had been betrayed by his friend Robert the Bruce. Remember him? We talked about him. He had been betrayed by him, who had chosen the wealth and title of fighting for England over the credibility of defending Scotland. In his pursuit of Scotland's liberation, Wallace met up with England's most formidable masked opponent, this mystery masked guy on the battlefield, only to learn the identity was none other than Robert the Bruce. Wallace had the credibility to spare his friend's life. He didn't kill him. He was winning the fight. This haunted Robert the Bruce until he repented and later led Scotland to freedom. The last word prayerfully screamed by William Wallace as he died for the cause. I want to give you a challenge today to be credible. When people ask more about your experience with memorizing, applying, and sharing the word of God, be sure to give credit to him. Be sure to give credit to God.
Go ahead. We'll wrap up with the final thoughts, and then I'll have you pray for us this morning.
Okay. Like William Wallace's effect on his friend turned enemy turned disciple, Robert the Bruce, we can pray that our friends will also be drawn to repentance toward God through our wise behavior consisting of convincing words, common sense, courage, and credibility. As powerfully as William Wallace depicted wise behavior, he paled in comparison to Jesus Christ, who was the wisdom of God. His life, death, and resurrection demonstrated God's ultimate design for wise behavior. Jesus was convincing. He knew the word. Jesus was filled with common sense. He applied the word. Jesus was courageous. He shared the word. Jesus was credible. He died for the word, giving all credit to the Father. Jesus Christ was indeed the word of God. Thus, it is Christ in us who is convincing, filled with common sense, courageous, and credible.
I love that closing because it expands our picture of who Jesus is. We don't really get the fullness of who he is. We are led by pictures we see, paintings we see, films we see. This was the God-man who walked with might and power.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just close, Mitch. Would you pray for all of us that what we've heard this morning will not be lost to us, that God will use this in our hearts and our lives to transform us?
Sure. God, I think about this morning when I was reading the Bible, and I thought that there was the gentle prompting of your whispering voice of your spirit onto mine. And I went to Proverbs 30, verse 5, and I just kind of took it in there, just thought about it for a minute. And every word of God is flawless. He is a shield. You are a shield to those who take refuge in you. So we don't want to add to your words, or you'll rebuke us and prove us a liar. May we see the word of God, may we see the Bible as an expression of you, as a means to you, as a means to your heart, and its unique expression in each one of our lives. And God, I felt like you were taking me to 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says, you know, the word of God is amazing in what it can do for us, that we use it for teaching and for rebuking and correcting and training. And God, it is so powerful. God, I just pray that every person here who's hearing this hour today would begin to memorize a verse or a passage and be convincing, that he or she would begin to apply and make sticky the verse or that passage to their calendar, their lives, and have common sense. And God, that they would share the experience of applying the word of God to their lives with another person. They would have courage to do that, vulnerability with you and vulnerability with others. And God, may we be credible. May each one of us give credit to you when we're asked about how all that worked. Pray these things in the wisdom of God's name, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's Mid-Morning. It's just been an amazing thing to spend this time with all of you and to be present with you and our God and our Savior and our Spirit and saying amen to what Mitch has prayed, that God will bring that forth in all of our lives. Thank you so much, General Credit Union, with 4 locations throughout Fort Wayne in Souder Village and Archbold, and on the web at soudervillage.org. Just a reminder that you can catch this interview on the archive, WBCL.org, and also the worksheets for today's program and others. Stay tuned. Money Life is next.